Well, I want you to prepare your heart for the word of the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. All right. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us, that you're so mighty, Lord, that you love us so much, and you are moving and working in our lives. And Father, you have set before us great opportunities, Lord, to serve you, to live for you, to bring glory and honor to you. I pray, Father, that you help us today to lay hold of the things that you have for us, to live in all that you have for us, and that you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I shared with you a message, Reaching Your Potential, and it was part one. So today is part two. In Matthew chapter 25, we're just going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, okay? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a story about three workers who were entrusted with a large sum of money while their master went away on a trip. Two of them took what was given to them and they put it to good use. They doubled what was entrusted to them. When the master came back, this is what he told them, Matthew 25 and 21, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Those two reached their potential. The third worker took what was entrusted to him and he hid it in the ground. Matthew 25, beginning from verse 24, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. I'm telling you, this man did not fulfill his potential. In fact, he lost even what he had. Reaching your potential is about reaching your best outcome. It is fulfilling the plan of God in your life. It is fulfilling his purpose in your life, accomplishing what God has for you. And you know what? When you do that, see, when you reach your potential, and you fulfill the purpose of God, there is always great joy. The master said to those faithful servants, he said, "Enter in to the joy of your Lord." In the NIV, it says, "Come and share in your master's happiness." And I want you to know that certainly is for us in eternity, but it is also for us even in this life as we fulfill the purpose of God. When we reach our potential, I'm telling you, there is such joy when you do what God has called you to do, what he has purposed for you. The will of God is always best. And I'm telling you, when we live in the will of God and fulfill his potential, there's great joy in that. To reach your potential, you have to believe the best. Now, we talked about believing a lot last week, but it's so important, I'm just not going to let it go this week. I want you to get this. This is where we acknowledge that we cannot reach our potential without his help. Without his grace, without his favor upon our lives, we cannot possibly reach the potential that is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to believe. We have to believe in his goodness. The wicked servant said, "I was afraid." Fear keeps so many people from reaching their potential. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of being hurt. They're afraid of being disappointed, having crushed hopes. There's a solution for fear. It is to believe. Jesus said, Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. The answer for fear is that we believe. You got to believe that He is good. You need to believe that He is for you, not against you. If you're going to reach your potential, you got to know that. Believe. Believe His grace is greater than your failures. Believe that His strength is stronger than your weakness. You got to believe that His plan and purpose for you is totally doable with His help. Amen. You can do it. The one who hid the talent in the dirt, he also misjudged his master. He said, I knew that you were a hard man. Do you know so many people misjudge God? They think that He is a hard God, that He is harsh. I want to tell you that He is good and He is merciful and kind. He's not against you, He's for you. And it's as we believe and we put our trust in Him that we are able to receive of His grace. He said, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. I guess somehow in his delusional mind, he forgot about the great sum of money that had been entrusted to him. Certainly his master had sown. And a lot of people misjudge God and think that somehow He has not given them what they deserve. That maybe He has blessed others, He's given others talents and abilities and gifts and opportunity, but not them. That somehow He is trying to reap where He has not sown. I'm telling you, you need to believe. You need to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for you, that He loves you, that He's for you. And that He has blessed you. He has given you gifts and abilities and opportunities. You can reach your potential. The Scripture tells us that He gave to each one according to his ability. I want you to know that God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do. He will always empower you. He will always equip you to do whatever He calls you to do. You got to believe. Believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We're not doing this on our own. We're working with the Lord. He said that apart from Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, oh, we can bear much fruit. We can reach our potential. But you got to believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Yeah. To reach your potential, you have to be the best you. I have some news for you. You can't be nobody else. A lot of people try. A lot of people wish. You can only be you. But you have the potential to be the best you. He gave to each one according to their ability. And I tell you, He treats each of us as individuals. He gifts each of us. There are people that you can reach, that you can impact, that nobody else can. I really do believe that. There are people whose eternity is dependent upon you fulfilling your potential. You make a difference. And you fulfilling the potential that God has put in you is so vital, so important for the kingdom's sake, for eternity's sake. But you got to be the best you. Don't try to be somebody else. Hebrews 12:1 says to run the race that is set before us. In other words, there's a race that you have to run. You're not running somebody else's race. You got to run your own race. John Adams said the only thing most people do better than anyone else is read their own handwriting. I hope that's not true for us. By the way, some years ago I started typing out my sermons because too often I got in the pulpit and couldn't read my own notes. But that's how bad my handwriting is. They say that's a sign of genius. Y'all believe that? Why are y'all laughing? That's not very nice. But certainly there's got to be something that God has put inside of you that you can be good at, that you can be the best at. And I'll tell you, when you do that, when you really reach that potential, oh, there's joy in that. You'll find a happiness in that, in doing that. And I'm telling you, you just have to make up your mind that you're not going to look at others and think, why don't I have that gift? Why can't I do that? But instead, be the best you that you can be. God placed you in this world for a reason. We all have certain gifts and abilities. And sometimes it seems like people want to complain to God, at least if not verbally out loud, the attitude is there that they feel like God is give them the short end of the stick, that other people have these great gifts and opportunities. And because they're looking at somebody else's gift, they're envious of somebody else's gift, they fail to really reach their potential and their gifts and abilities. Now, we all know this. Not everybody is called to sing. I mean, if you're standing out in the middle of a congregation worshiping the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Not everybody's called to sing. Everybody's called to worship, but not everybody's called to sing on the platform and sing in a microphone. Just be glad they don't have a microphone, right? But everybody has gifts and abilities. Everybody has opportunities, great potential. And we have to be the best you, the best me that we can be. It's foolish to compare. 2 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13 says, we do not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. They are not wise. Anytime you start comparing, it is foolish. It's unwise. There's no good going to come from it. He goes on and he says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. He's talking about his influence of ministry, that he had a sphere of influence where his gifting and calling was operating. And he said to the Corinthians, he said, and that includes you. You need to realize that you have a sphere of influence where your giftings and your callings and abilities make a difference. You don't need to be looking at somebody else's sphere of influence and gifting and saying, why can't I do that? Or wish I had that. But instead, be the best you. God has you here for a reason. And I want to tell you, in the body of Christ, it's so important that each one of us understands that all of us matter. All of us make a difference to reach your potential. You have to do your best. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Just got to read it again. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. You say, whatever you do, at your job, in the workplace, in the home, at church, your involvement in the work of the Lord, whatever you do, You do it with all your heart as for the Lord. You're working for Him. You always, always do your best. This is so much a part of reaching your potential. You have to do your best. You can't fulfill your potential if you're just doing halfway. No, you got to do your very best to ever reach your potential. So what you do at your job, with your family, are you being the best father you could be? Are you being the best husband that you could possibly be? The best wife or mother? Are you handling your finances to the best of your ability? Is your devotional life, your time with God, are you giving that your very best? Whatever way that you are involved in the work of the ministry, are you giving it your best? You might have noticed I left out being the best golfer. I'll leave that between you and God. But I'm just saying, you see, in our life there are things that really matter. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing with all your might, with all your heart, as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, that's what the Scripture says. You know, in our society today, and the truth is that even in the church, the attitude so often is that people want to do as little as they have to. They do as little as they can get by with. But the Scripture tells us to do our very best, to do it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. To the faithful servant, the master said, "Well done." That means they did good. Well done. They did their best and they reached their potential. The Lord promoted them. He said, "You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much." I'll tell you, when we do our part, God always does His part. Now, the rest of the message, I'm just going to talk about how to do your best. I think we need to break it down and understand a little bit more. Just how do we go about doing our best? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to follow through and do it. So to do your best, it takes dedication. Dedication is about commitment and devotion. Whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. He's the one that we are dedicated to, that we are devoted to and committed to. But you need to understand that when you're committed to something, that means that you're going to say no to some things. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I mean, when you get married and you are committed to one person, that means you're going to say no to some other things, right? And it's that way in life. Whatever you're going to truly be committed to, you're going to have to guard. You're going to have to say no to some things. See, if you're going to get that degree, there are going to be some things you say no to. You need to understand that if you're going to really reach your potential, you got to do your best. And to do your best, it takes dedication. The master said, "Good and faithful servant." Good. Good as opposed to what he said to the one who didn't live up to his potential. He called him a wicked servant. You see, those servants who were faithful, they were good. They did what they were supposed to. They lived a life the way they were supposed to. Listen to this from Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Lay aside every weight. "And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." He says, lay aside the weight. You see, to be dedicated means that there are going to be some things that you're willing to lay aside. You're committed, so you're putting other things aside that slow you down. The NIV says, hinders. whatever hinders you, whatever slows you down in doing your very best, you need to put it aside. And then he goes on and he talks about sin that so easily besets. I say, nothing will slow you down like sin. Nothing will hinder your potential or even kill your potential like sin. And so he says, throw it off. Get rid of those things. But you know what? What really slows most Christians down is not some terrible sin, but it is just some good things that have become a distraction. Some things that maybe are not sinful, but they're just not part of you reaching your potential and doing your best for God. You got to remember, this race is not a sprint. It is a marathon. A lot of Christians start off really fast, doing great, but then it's not long until they're out of church and not really serving God, not really fulfilling their potential anymore. It's so important that you understand this is a marathon, and you got to be dedicated. You got to be committed, because there's going to be tests and trials. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be distractions along the way. There's going to be times when it'd be easier to just maintain, just to sit back. But he says, run with endurance. And I want to tell you, if you're really dedicated, if you're really committed, you'll keep going during those times. You won't allow that to slow you down or stop you. You'll just keep going. Commitment, dedication. You have to say no to some things. There's a famous violinist. He said that the road that leads to the life of a violinist is hour after hour, day after day, week after week. He said, for years I lived with my violin. So many things I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. So many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I traveled was narrow and the way was hard. Well, those words sound kind of familiar, don't they? But this violinist understood that if he was going to reach his potential as a violinist, there were some other things that he wasn't going to get to do. One man put it this way. He said, to really be good at some things, you have to decide to be bad at some other things. He said, I've decided to be bad at TV conversation. You know, when all your friends are sitting around and they say, hey, have you seen that show? Did you see this episode? Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, you don't have a clue what they're talking about. That's being bad at TV conversation. Maybe there are some things in your life that you need to just decide to be bad at so you can be good at some things that are really important. Well, I know every player on this team, and I can tell you their statistics, and I can tell you blah, 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 blah. I would rather be a great dad than know all the statistics. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you there are some things that are more important, and sometimes being dedicated means that you have to say no to some things. You have to decide. You'd rather be good at this and be bad at that. Do your best. To do your best, it takes dedication. To do your best, it takes diligence. Diligence is persistent work or effort. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. I want to remind you, the master said, good and faithful servant. Faithful. What does that mean? Faithful does not mean I showed up. That's kind of the way it's used today when somebody's there all the time. They say, oh, they're faithful. Well, that's not what faithful means in the scripture, and it certainly didn't mean that in this context, because I got to tell you, the lazy guy showed up. He showed up and he says, here's what's yours. He was not faithful. He was wicked and lazy. Faithful does not mean to maintain. Well, they did the same thing for 40 years. They were faithful. That doesn't mean faithful. The lazy servant maintained. He kept what was given to him and said, here it is. Faithful means that you do what you're supposed to do. Those servants that he entrusted this great wealth to went out and used it. They did what they were supposed to. They did what they had been trusted to do. And for us, if we're going to be faithful, we have to be diligent. We have to work hard. We have to be willing to do what it takes. I know in our culture, work has become a four-letter word, but so often it is the missing link in reaching our potential. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the saints doing the work of the ministry, that the fivefold ministry equips the saints for the work of the ministry. And then later he talks about how the body of Christ is built up as each part does its work in love. And we need to understand that's how the body of Christ works. It is work. It is God's people. It is His saints doing the work of the ministry. Last week I mentioned that our youth pastor, Jonathan, has been with us now for 10 years, and just the last few years especially, we've just seen so much fruit, so many young people's lives changed, and God is just really moving and working. And it is not just because Jonathan is smart and talented. The thing that makes him really stand out is he is diligent. He works persistently. He does the work to get the job done right. And I got to tell you, that is exceptional in our day and time. If you go back a little further than that, 10 years ago, we were looking for a youth pastor and taking resumes and interviewing people. And it just blew me away how many young men wanted to work about one day a week and get full-time pay. And I remember our former pastor, my father-in-law, he was just as bothered by this as I am. But it's very strange to me how many people want to be in the ministry and be lazy. Because whether we're in full-time vocational ministry or we're just working and serving the Lord as a layperson, we should always do our very best and be diligent at whatever we do. Because I want to tell you, anything, if anything is worth giving it your best, it's the work of the Lord. We got to be diligent. We got to be willing to do the work. It takes persistent work to be good at anything. Back in the 60s, there was a man who was a bricklayer, and he had three boys. And once they were old enough, he started taking them to the job site with him, and he would have them help him. Then eventually, he had the oldest boy would be up on the platform with him. While he was laying bricks, the younger ones would throw one brick up at a time, and the older brother would catch the bricks and stack them for the dad to lay the brick. And that oldest son, as he caught those bricks, brick after brick, and the years went by, probably never ever crossed his mind that it was preparing him to be the greatest receiver in NFL history. I'm talking about Jerry Rice. Nobody holds as many records as a receiver as Jerry Rice. And it's been noted again and again and again by not only his friends, but his opponents and so many coaches, that what made him great was not his natural ability. There were many who had more ability than he did, who were faster, bigger receivers, and yet none of them will ever be able to break his records. And it was because of his work ethic. That when others were spending their time in the limelight of the media complaining about their situation and how rough life is for them, he was out running extra laps, running up and down hills. When everybody else was showing up late for training camp, he showed up 5 days early with the rookies. Why would he do that? After he had been in the Pro Bowl over and over and over. Because he was diligent. He wanted to do his very best. He didn't want to leave anything on the table. And I'm just telling you that if you're going to do your best, you're going to have to decide to be diligent, to work hard persistently, to stay after it. I want to tell you, being a good parent takes diligence. It takes a lot of hard work. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Having a good marriage isn't always easy. Sometimes you got to work at it. Not me, darling, but some of these other people. Yeah, just. It always takes diligence to reach your potential, to do your very best. To do your very best, it takes discipline. I know y'all are excited now, but I believe that this is so practical. This is what we need, church. We don't need that fluff and stuff. We need stuff that we can really lay hold of and live out in our lives. And I'm telling you, if you want to reach your potential, you got to do your best. And you're not doing your best if you're not being disciplined. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." I'm telling you, it takes discipline to really be good at anything. And when we take care of the little things, so often that makes the difference. The master said to the faithful servants, he says, "You were faithful in a few things. Now you're going to be made ruler over much." That's reaching your potential. And how did it happen? They were faithful in a few things. So often, it is the little things in life that maybe we think are no big deal. They're unimportant. And yet it is when we are faithful, when we're disciplined to take care of those little things in life, day by day by day. You see, it's easy to just have a dream and have a vision and a plan and say, "I want to do this and I want to do that." And maybe God is in it. Maybe God is the one that gave you the dream. But if you don't live your life daily, fulfilling, heading towards, being disciplined about the things that will get you there, you won't ever fulfill your potential. You got to take care of the little things. There's big choices, but I'm telling you, it's the little daily choices that we have to live it out. Terry Foy says, "The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine." Your daily routine. Oh, that's where we need the discipline. We always want a quick fix. But a lot of the time, it's a daily discipline that really brings victory. You know, if you're trying to get your finances turned around, well, I realize that you might be praying for your rich uncle to pass on, but I'm just telling you, most of the time, that turnaround, listen, God will help you. See, you got to believe that He's the one that gives you the grace to do it. But listen, it's going to take discipline on your part to see it turned around. If you want to raise godly children, you don't do it once a week. That's what a lot of parents try. They just let their kids go all week, and then the day comes, they say, all right, you're going to straighten up, I'm going to fix you. It don't work that way. What does work is being disciplined to train and raise your kids right every day. I didn't say it was easy. I said it works. It's discipline. You know, the problem with child discipline is parents not being disciplined. By the way, this culture we live in, and even in the church, everybody's always wanting to say, oh, these kids these days. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with these kids these days. It's adults these days. Kids are just kids, and they just act the way they train to. But it takes discipline. You want to be a great parent, it's going to take discipline. You're going to be a great father, it's going to take discipline. You're going to be a great worker, it takes discipline. If you're going to really be good at something for the Lord, it's going to take discipline. Let me tell you, if you're going to be disciplined about anything in your whole life, be disciplined about your devotional time with the Lord. Be disciplined about your love for Him and love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To be disciplined to always have time for the Lord. Discipline to study the Scriptures. Don't be a lazy Christian. Study the Scriptures. Know what the Word of God says. I want to work through this passage quickly. Before we do, sometimes we see others that seem to have it really good, and we think, well, God just has shown them favor. That's just, you know, and he doesn't do that for me. God, you know, God's good to them. He's not good to me. And you know what? Maybe it is the grace of God on their life. But you need to realize that God blesses when we are disciplined, when we do what we're supposed to do. In fact, I want to read this to you, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So if we reach our potential at all, we give God the glory and we say it is by the grace of God. But he says, and His grace toward me was not in vain. Don't let it be in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, I worked harder, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He knew very well to give God the glory. And he realized the grace of God on his life. But he said, I worked harder than all of them. And I'm just telling you that sometimes when you see somebody else and it seems like, man, their life is golden, you don't know the battles they've been through, and you don't know the discipline and the work and the effort that they've put in. And sometimes what turns our situation around with the Lord's help is when we decide to be disciplined on a daily basis to make the right choices and do the right thing. So let me do this very quickly. In verse 25, he says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. The NIV says, goes into strict training. See, we need to be disciplined about our prayer life and our time with God. We need to be disciplined about the things that we feel like are really important. You don't just let it go, but he said they go into strict training. We do it for an eternal crown. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We're not just trying to make heaven. No, there's a reward that's available to us. Verse 26, he says, thus I run, thus not with uncertainty. In other words, the way you live your life is intentional. You're doing this on purpose. You're not just making haphazard decisions, but the way you live each day is not uncertain, but for a purpose. Then he says, not as one who's beating the air, not just shadow boxing. He says, I'm making each punch count. See, You got to make it count. When you talk about discipline, a lot of what discipline has to do with is waste. You don't waste. You don't waste time. When you're disciplined, you don't waste time. When you're disciplined, you don't waste effort. You use it for profitable things. When you're disciplined, you don't waste money. When you're disciplined, you don't waste opportunities. What a difference that makes towards us doing our best and reaching our potential for God. I'm just telling you, it takes discipline to do your best. There was a man known as Admiral Rickover. He was the head of the U.S. nuclear navy, and every officer aboard a nuclear submarine was personally interviewed by Admiral Rickover. One of those who interviewed with him was former President Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter told about the interview that he had with Admiral Rickover. And this was his account that he said that he met him in a large room, and that he first told him that he could discuss whatever he would like to, and so he mentioned several subjects that he thought he knew a lot about. He said he mentioned current events and seamanship and naval tactics and electronics and gunnery, and he said he started off just asking him a few simple questions, and then the questions became increasingly difficult until he basically showed him that he didn't know anything at all about those subjects. And then finally he asked him a question that he thought would give him a chance to redeem himself. He asked him, he said, what rank were you in your class at Annapolis? And he said, with his chest swelled out in pride, he said, I was 59th in a class of over 800. But instead of hearing congratulations as he expected, he just asked him another question. He said, did you do your best? And President Carter said that he started to just say yes, but then as he thought about it and he remembered the times that he didn't really do his best, he said he was just human. He thought about who he was talking to, and so he just told the admiral, he said, no, I guess I didn't always do my best. He said the admiral turned his chair around and concluded the interview with one last question. And he said he was not able to answer that question then. He still was not able to answer it years later. He just said, why not? I'm glad that this morning, as we talk about potential, we're not talking about your past. We're talking about the future, the potential that you still have with you and God. But I got to tell you, when that day comes and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I do not want to hear, why not? I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you that you love us so much. And Lord, that you put before us opportunities. You put before us the privilege, Lord, of making a difference in this world. And I pray, Father, that in the heart of every person in this room, Lord, they would know that your hand is upon them for a reason, for a purpose. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that not one person in this room will leave potential undone in their life. but they'll fulfill all that you have for them. I pray, Father, for the one that's discouraged today. I pray that today they'll be able to move forward in the plan and purpose of God. I pray, Father, for the one that maybe has just been slothful, that today is their turning point, that today they're going to start giving it their best. Oh, Father, I pray for the one that thought that they were somehow left out. I pray, Father, that today they'll realize that you are with them, that you're for them, and you have purpose for them. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that your will be done in us today. Amen. Amen. So dismiss the congregation this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. Listen, if God is dealing with your heart, some of you, you need to make that decision to really make Jesus the Lord of your life. Make up your mind that you're going to dedicate yourself to Him and to His cause. Some of you here this morning, you know you haven't been giving God your best. It's time for you to make a decision to do that, to be the best you that you can be. Whatever prayer need you might have this morning, we'd be glad to pray with you. So as we dismiss, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.